But this morning, 40 days of purpose, we're in week 6. You were formed for God's family, part 2, this morning. Who's glad they're part of the family of God? Who thinks there's benefits to being in the family of God? Come on. Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah. Fantastic. You know, so I want to call it this morning, actually, love your spiritual family. Okay? Oh, that. Did you hear me? Let's just say it one more time. Nice. So we all get it. Love your spiritual family. Turn to your neighbor and say, well, that might be a bit kinky, I guess, if it's boys and boys, but I was going to say love. I love you, but hey, maybe we'll just move on. To date in this series, we have discovered that God has put us on this planet for a purpose beyond ourselves, yeah? We're not here for ourselves. We're here to do what God has for us to do on this earth. He has placed eternity in our hearts. Ecclesiastes talks about that, and that we are to live out our best life through having a relationship with Him. God is our Father. We have a relationship through Jesus Christ who came for us. We have the Holy Spirit who is with us all the time. We have to just simply engage Him. And our relationship with God is not a duty or a religion or ritual. Rather, there is a freedom in our walk with God. We trust Him with our life, and that's called worship. And last weekend, we discovered that God wants a family. God has a family. And no matter whether you have had a dysfunctional family, no matter whether you've been through divorce, no matter whether you've had some other hardship in your life or whether it's been some sort of addiction, now you are part of God's family. You belong. Every one of you belong to God's family. Great to have Gloria back this morning. Welcome, Gloria. Good to see you. Let's give Gloria a hand. So where's my friend Gus? He doesn't like talking. Come up here, Gus. Quickly. Gus, I've been practicing this. Gus Wustheisen. Is that about right? Oh, have we got a microphone? Yeah, we got one. We're good. So, Gus, I'll help you. I know you don't like... Isn't he a great server, first of all? Yeah. And what a fantastic smile this man has. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, connect groups. That's what we're here for, right? So you belong to a connect group?
Yes, I do.
And Pastor Nigel actually asked me about 2 weeks or 4 weeks ago to stand in for Morena.
Yeah, and so how's it going? Because Morena had to go to South Africa, and you know, sort of, and so you ran the group.
Yeah, we've done 2 weeks, so we're on week 3 this next fourth night, and the beginning was a little bit hard, something new. Also with all the new, okay, it's not new, but we've been together a long time. And I must say the first week was a little bit tough, and I must say the next week was better.
But why is it better? Because we were talking about this morning. What happened? Because it always takes a little while when you're a leader. But this is great, because now you've got an assistant. How cool is that? So that's what we do in our connect groups, right? You don't just have a leader. You have someone that you're raising up. And Gus has got a lot more in him than he realizes. Hey, Rudolph. That's right. So tell us what you've been doing.
I must say we got closer. We as a group got closer, I think, like a family also. And we started something new also this week. We're starting singing songs. You know, got Rudolph with his guitar. And we're starting singing songs like around the fireplace and stuff, worshipping the Lord. So... something new, and everybody was more pumped up, and it actually let the whole group feel much closer. And I think that's the thing, we were closer than the previous week, and even from the beginning of the cell groups, I think we got closer, and it was just fun. I think that's a big thing. We had fun. And we also done a good worship also.
And so now you were saying, just in closing, you were saying that the groups actually now started to be more comfortable with one another, and those that weren't speaking, they're starting to speak. And it takes a little while. But when Gus was just talking to me about it, I thought, this is so cool. You know, it always takes a few weeks, doesn't it, when you're with people, especially if they're a fairly new group. But don't you love it? They're from a South African mainly culture, and now they're around the campfire, and they're suddenly enjoying life. How cool. Let's give Gus a hand. Thanks, Gus. So I want to talk this morning, in the time I have, about this love your spiritual family. A place to belong is my first point. A place to belong. In Ephesians 2:19, it says, "Now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You are called to belong, not just believe." I'm just letting it sink in. Right from the beginning of mankind, God said to Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and formed for a family. And the fact is, none of us can fulfill God's purpose by ourselves. So, you're not on your own anymore. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not on your own. In God's family, you are connected to every other believer, and we will belong to each other. Get this. You better start looking out for one another. You will belong to each other for eternity. For eternity, Jacques. My goodness. I get to see you in heaven. How cool is that? You know, I get to see Sam and Sarah here in heaven. We are not just connected for now, we are connected forever. How cool is that? Our Filipino friends up here, welcome this morning. Fantastic. Just keeping the back rope, making sure these guys don't mess up, I see. It's all good. You know, following Christ includes belonging, not just believing. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus at the tender age of 11. I was little back then. In a church north of the river. It's where I grew up. One of the first things that happened to me internally was that after I made a decision for Christ, was that I wanted to belong. Anyone else had that experience? Something changes inside your heart when you give your life to Christ. It's like there's a fire inside of you. I want to do something for God as well. Now for me, I was in a fairly traditional church, so I joined the church band. Now some of you never knew that. Jared, I've never told you this. I used to play the cornet, which is a trumpet. I've got lots of wind. It wasn't the church band that played, because we only had the organ back then. Anyway, let's not go there. But we had this band, this brass band. And because we used to go in and do like outreach and play in bands in parks and things. And so I was part of that. I could never play real well. Jared, I have no idea where you get your musical talent from, but anyway. I didn't hear that, but anyway. So, the point is, I needed to belong. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give this a go. Thank the good Lord, someone came up to me at some time and says, well, maybe this is not your best area. But there's somewhere for each of us to belong. But if it wasn't for that experience, perhaps I wouldn't be a pastor today. See, we have journeys in our life that help us become who we are. And you may have the wrong idea about membership. So I want to explain it to you. I get a lot of emails, and some of them, you know, who else gets junk emails and rubbish emails? But yeah, years and years ago, we went once to Abbey Beach Resort down south. Everyone know Abbey Beach Resort? Well, it's just like this anyway. It's in Busselton. It's just a resort. And years ago, the kids were really little because they had a swimming pool. We thought, yep, great, fantastic, we'll do that. But I keep getting, they keep telling me, because you're a VIP member. What? All I am is on their list. I don't have to do anything. I don't pay any money. But I'm on their list. And I think we can get the wrong idea about what membership actually is. Membership is not actually to be on a list. Come on. It's not actually just simply being on a list and you're a member. The biblical concept of is much more. To Paul, being a member of the church meant being a vital organ of a living body and indispensable. Each person in this room, you are indispensable. Interconnected part of the body of Christ. The church is a body, not a building. We're glad we have a building where the people at the back can stay warm. I don't like to stay warm. We had Peter's up the front here. I was cooking. We had to take them away. In fact, you hardly ever get cold in this church anyway. So, for the organs of your body to fulfill their purpose, they must be connected to your body, yeah? And the same is true for you as part of Christ's body. You were created for a specific role, but you will miss the second purpose of your life if you are not attached to a living local church. You discover your role in life through your relationship with others. And that's why we're saying that there's two things that are really important. Actually being a part of church, coming to church and going and being connected and being involved in a connect group. And like Gus said, sometimes it takes a few weeks. But persevere with the relationships because God's blossoming something new. I read about this climber in the American desert and he was climbing this sheer rock face. And he'd climbed quite a way up. And somehow, I have no idea how, but somehow he managed to get this part, his forearm, stuck in the crevice of the rock. There was no one else around, and I don't know why, but he was one of those, like, he just does it for fun. He was professional. It was his job kind of thing. And so he's climbed up, and he's stuck in the rock, and he's looking around, and there's nothing. It's just desert, and it's just this rock face. And he had to make a decision. Was he going to stay there and probably, before too long, just die? Or was he going to take action? So he pulled out his knife and he cut his forearm off. And somehow he managed to climb back down the rock face. He tied it up, obviously, And he made it to some civilization where there were some farms, and they helicoptered him out, and he survived. Now, why did his body survive? Because all the rest of the parts were making compensation for the part that was. Now, what had happened to the? There's this withered hand up there. It's disconnected. It's got no life. Birds had come, all those things. It's no longer connected to the body. Disconnected and cut off from the lifeblood of a local body, your spiritual life will wither and eventually it will cease to exist. You need to be in a connect group. You need to be a part of the house of God. Connect group leaders after church, you need to be asking, are you in a connect group? Everyone you see, if we're going to make a difference, we've got to be connected. Because if you're on your own, it won't be long before the devil's able to take you out somehow. You will wither and you will die. But with each other, we will blossom. We will be the perfect body. We will be an organism that is powerful, that is alive, that is able to accomplish far much more than someone on their own. And so the first symptom of spiritual decline is usually inconsistent attendance at a worship service and other gatherings. So I want to talk, the ladies' event, if you are here and you're a lady, this is for you. You know how important some of these little things are. We only do this 3 times a year. But I tell you, when we connect together, when the ladies, the family of ladies connect together, what we do is we influence others, whether they will come or not, or whether they will become disconnected. This is a serious business. We need to actually be connected to one another. So when we have these events, it's important that we say, you know what, this is my body, I'm going to be part of the living organism. And the church is indestructible and it will exist for eternity. It will outlive this universe and so will your role in it. Sadly, many Christians don't get it. You were made to belong. Turn to your neighbor and say, you were made to belong. A few years ago, I went on some pastoral training with C3 Church on the East Coast and the northern beaches of Sydney. And the program started at, some of you think that pastors got it easy, I know, so I'm just going to tell you the routine. The program started at 5 a.m. with some rigorous exercise with the Quicksilver Pro personal trainer, Rob Roland Smith, known as the Sandhill Warrior. Now, he was 52 years old. He was built like a machine. I could not keep up with him. My calf muscle popped out, literally. My right calf muscle popped out on one of the sandhill runs I was trying, because I was trying to keep up with the 20-year-olds. It was all good until that happened. Compared to the rest of my body, my calf muscle is relatively small, would you agree? But without it, the entire body could not operate properly. Why do you need to be in local church? That's why. Jesus Christ, look at this, 1 John 3:16. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. A church family helps you to develop spiritual muscle. How do you develop spiritual muscle? Let me put up, let me first show you one of these pictures. Put up the bodybuilder. He's got muscles on his muscles, this fella. Okay, but turn it off, all the girls are getting heartthrobs or something like that anyway. Hey, thanks, AJ. You work those muscle groups until they strain. How do you develop strength spiritually? Louis trains a little bit. Yeah. Where's Emmett? I saw him. Look at this lean, mean fighting machine. Stand up for a second. Look at him. I mean, man, whoa. Oh, I've lost my train of thought completely now. Oh, I wish I had a body like yours. Let's put another, let's put, just because of that happened, I think I've got a picture of a dark-skinned bodybuilder. Let's put him up since we've just seen Emmett. Oh, all right. How do you actually gain strength? Because you are able to resist until you can push one more rep. Now, if you want to get stronger, In the gymnasium, what you got to do is you start off what you can lift, and then the idea is that you do 3 or 4 reps, the heaviest you can possibly do. And so you go, you actually resist, and it's like you get someone to spot you. I've been spotting Jared at the gym. Oh, he's been spotting me. He's saying, well, you're okay, whatever. Both of us help one another out. And when we do, when it comes to the last rep, well, we're going, push, come on, you can do it. And you're actually physically, you're thinking you can't do it, but somehow you manage to do it. And the next time it becomes easier, and the next time it becomes easier. Before you know it, you're able to put the weight up. Isn't that right, Emmett? What do we need to be doing if we're going to produce spiritual muscle? Who thinks we need to resist the things that the devil pushes against us? And how do we resist to the point where, you know what? What was hard now becomes easy. What I never used to be able to push, I can now push back, no problem whatsoever. Do you think we need to be praying for one another? If you're not in a connect group, you're not even thinking about the person around you. We need to be so in one another's world so that we help one another. The days are gone when we never used to talk about anything with anybody and try and do it on our own. You are going to be doomed sooner or later. The devil will take you out. The best thing you can do is be connected. The way you gain resistance. There's another one, isn't there? AJ, did I get it? Did we get it? Oh my goodness. Man. Okay, you take that one off. See, God wants us to be praying for one another. We're going to get spiritual muscle because we're praying. When we say pray as a church, like Charlie did this morning, well, man, we can lift the roof off. And God wants us to be honoring one another. God wants us to be carrying one another's burdens. We help one another and we get spiritual muscle when we do. When it's not only about our own life, Lord, help me with this, Lord, help me with that, we actually gain momentum and we gain faith and strength internally because we're not looking at ourselves, but we're able to help others in the body of Christ and we get spiritually strong together. He wants us to be submissive. He wants us to be devoted. In the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves. Whatever was spoken, they applied it to their lives. So I want to ask, who are you doing these things with? So your spiritual muscle is well formed and you are at your optimum when you are learning and growing with others in his family. Church family will keep you from backsliding. None of us are immune to temptation. And God is fully aware of this and gives us one another to keep us on the right track. We are called and commanded to be in each other's lives. If you know someone who is wavering spiritually right now, it's your responsibility to go after them and bring them back into the house of God. Might be someone that you can invite to the ladies' event this coming Saturday, 2:00 in the afternoon. Invite them. Let's have high tea together. Look at this, James 5:19 in the message. Let's put this up. If you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. Worship helps you focus on God. Fellowship helps you face life's problems, belong, being committed to one another, not just attending. You know, that's why I've put on the chair, you'll see on every second chair, there's a form, a blue form. If you want to belong to this church, the easiest thing to do is to start serving in the house of God. That's why those forms are there. You can fill it in. You can fill it in and give it to the information desk this morning. Give it to Claire at the information desk or just put it on the information desk, hand it to an usher. The best thing you can do is not just be on a list, but actually belong. Let me finish with this point. Second point, cultivating community. Cultivating community. You know, community requires commitment. Like any team, it requires commitment. James 3:18, it says this: you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. It's almost like the Apostle James was saying, you know what, guys? I know it's tough, but you've got to keep going and make this thing work. Treat each other with dignity and honor. It's the Holy Spirit which creates real fellowship between believers, but he cultivates it with the choices and commitments that we make. Your life, your best life, is in being straight. Straight with God. Truthful with God. I'm going to read this scripture out. I think we've got it on the PowerPoint as well. Ephesians 4, verse 25. No more lies. No more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Too many churches have been destroyed through lack of honesty. And God has set us a standard to follow. And Paul has to rebuke the Corinthian church for their passive code of silence, allowing immorality, allowing lying, allowing all kinds of things that were long-term. Now, I know that when someone comes into the house of God, it takes time, and that's great. We don't want to lose anybody from the house of God. God loves you. God cares about you. But there comes a time in a Christian's life when they've been doing the journey for a while, when they have to decide whether they love Jesus. I heard this from John Bevere, who was at Presence Conference. I got the CD. Whether you love Jesus or determine to fear God. Love Jesus. You can love Jesus. You can worship God. You can actually, but you can be actually in sin. And when you fear God, you actually begin to hate the things that God hates. What does God hate? Well, some of those are written right there. He hates sexual immorality. He hates lying. He hates it when people don't get along together and they hold grudges. We need to forgive one another. There's so many things. You've read all these things. But we can be nonchalant about it. And actually, you actually can love Jesus, but you're not fearing God. And we need to have the fear of the Lord. We need to obey what God has given us so that we can actually be the kind of church that is so committed that we can see the power of God manifest itself, that when we go out into the streets, there's a holiness that comes upon us, and God blesses those things when we fear and revere the name of the Lord. God loves us. God hates sin. Yeah? God loves us. God hates sin. If God loves us, but he hates sin, what are we going to hate? We're going to hate sin. We've actually got to hate sin. It puts a new perspective on things, doesn't it? And we can trick ourselves into believing that everything is okay because we love Jesus. But if we're honest with ourselves, whatever the sin we continue to do, we do not fear the Lord. If we feared the Lord, we would do what the Word commands us to do. I looked up this scripture. I had it on my phone because I was actually waiting for my car to get serviced. And I was preparing this message, in fact, and I had it on my English version, which is on my phone, and it says this. I think I've got the scripture for it. Psalm 19, verse 9, AJ. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear, chuck it up for me. The fear of the Lord is clean. A healthy church body is one which is able to demonstrate positive change in honoring the Word of God. Have a look at your own Bible. Some of them say, revere the Lord and you will be pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. So you have to ask yourself the question, if you are in an unhealthy relationship and you've been loving Jesus for a number of years, there has to come a point where you say, I'm going to trust and fear the Lord and I'm going to do what I need to do to get right. Will we still love you? Absolutely. Does God still love you? Absolutely. But there comes a time in your life where you've got to go, you know what? I'm going to trust God with my future. And if that means I have to change or other things need to be altered in my life, I'm going to do it because I know that God will make things right when I make a move. Yeah? So we need to be asking all ourselves, Who am I worshiping? Am I really worshiping God or am I worshiping my lifestyle? Yana, why don't you come this morning? Thank you, Jesus. First thing we talked about this morning is that you need to belong. Not be detached, not be lifeless. You need to belong. You need to be committed. You and I, we need to be committed to what God has for us and the things that He has for us as a body to do. We're a living organism. Together, we can achieve so much. I would encourage community. Let's protect our church. How do we protect our church? Because we connect with one another. We protect one another. We help one another grow. We're all at different levels of faith. If you do not belong this morning, why don't we stand for a moment? If you do not belong this morning, make the decision to attach yourself today. Father God, you know, the family of God is such a cool thing. God invented it. We meet together. He knew the power of family. He knew the power of meeting together. If you're not a part of God's family here this morning, maybe you've known God some time ago, but you know that you're not in right relationship with Him. Maybe this morning, you've never made a decision for the Lord. Today, you can make that decision for Christ and say, Lord, I love you. Come into my heart and I want to pray with you. That will be the start of a brand new life. A life of living with others. A life of belonging to the family of God, which lasts not only here, but throughout eternity. What an amazing God. So if you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, if this morning you're away from God and you need to come back to Him, you know you're not belonging. You say, well, this morning I'm going to belong. Pastor Nigel, please pray for me. If you're sure, Not sure that you're going to heaven. Be sure today. Be a part of these people that are going to put up their hands in a moment. If you want to love Jesus, invite Him into your life this morning and belong to His family. If you've been belonging but you've backslidden, you're away from God, you know to come back in a right relationship with God today. You're not sure you're going to heaven. On the count of three, pop up your hand. I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else say, yeah, I need to recommit my life. I need to get right with Him today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, what an awesome thing it is when someone even recommits their life and say, you know what? It's just as important. whether people make a decision for the first time or whether they recommit their life, people are saying, you know what, I'm going to honor God. It could really mean their salvation. It's a beautiful thing. We rejoice every time we see someone come to Christ or make a recommitment. What an amazing thing. Father, today I pray over every person. I pray, Lord, that we would have the fear of the Lord. That we would love you and fear you. And if we need to make recompense to you, we need to talk with someone and confess our sins, Father, Lord, that we would do those things because we want our family to grow into a living organism, strong and healthy. And we can only do that by following your commandments that are written in your word. So we thank you, Lord, that we're going to grow stronger and we're going to grow spiritual muscle that keeps us not just for this age, but for eternity. In the mighty name of Jesus. People of God said, God bless you guys. Have an awesome week.